Welcome to the Physics Teaching Podcast, the podcast for teachers of physics made by physics teachers.
Physics teachers like me, you got it right, Robin, for the first time in ages. Well done. Physics teachers like me, Thomas W.P., a part-time, A-level mostly, teacher of physics. Year 7's now biology, Robin. Reproduction. Oh. Reproduction in lockdown. Oh. That's an exciting one. Made a great video for them about menstruation this week. That was fun.
Oh, dear. Poor you. I do feel for you with those things. I remember trying to do sexual reproduction in mammals with Year 7 on a playing field once, and I'd made them all act out the different roles. So I had some sperm, I had some being eggs, and the eggs bottled it and started running off down the field, hotly pursued by the sperm, at which point the deputy head walked past. Ah, terrible. Anyway, but yes, I'm Robin Griffiths, a full-time teacher of physics. Thank goodness no biology anymore, not just on my account, on account of the poor kids as well. And I teach from year 8 through to year 13.
And just remembering your nose buds.
Yes. Yeah, James and I had a colleague, a wonderful colleague, who we compared notes once on the worst biology we'd ever taught. And I came up with smell buds, I think it was, wasn't it? Oh, what are the receptors for smell called? If you have taste buds for taste, what's the equivalent for smell? I said, I don't know, smell buds. And James's worst thing is, well, how are impulses then carried to the brain? Through the nasal nerve, apparently.
Oh, well, we teach physics for a reason. Oh, I think I did okay. I'm menstruation, wife and three daughters. Anyway, enough of that. I think it's a long time since we've had physics in the news, and I saw a brilliant story this week that I'm going to share with you. They have found a black hole really close to Earth, and that suggests there are black holes everywhere. Have you seen that?
So really close, and this is what I love about studying space, because trying to get the idea of really close in terms of astro scales is wonderful. How far is 1,011 light years away, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, that's close. I love I saw this on Slashdot, of course, I'm a geek, but there's a good analogy there using the width of a human hair scale, which is a very important scale in physics. Yes. So if the Earth and the Sun were only a hair's width apart, it would only be 4 miles away.
Yes, exactly.
That is close on the cosmic scale.
It is.
Close.
It is, absolutely. When you consider the galaxy is 100,000 light years across, 1,000 light years is relatively close in galactic terms. So yes, it's a nearby neighbour. And of course, you're right. And I love black hole physics, because it is this thing, you can't see them inevitably because, duh, they're black. They don't let any light escape, so you point a telescope at them and you see nothing. So they spot, the way they pick up black holes is when they see stars that are apparently rotating about nothing. In other words, they are in orbit around something that doesn't appear to be there. Then they go, oh, there's something there that is very massive that I can't see. What must that be? And that's a black hole.
Yeah, that reminds me. I took a trip to the Cavendish Labs, and they had very early pictures of these massive stars at the centre of the galaxy orbiting nothing. And there was very strong evidence there was a black hole at the centre of the Milky Way. I thought they do discover some by what falls into them. I mean, there was that photograph of a black hole was what was falling into it as well.
Yes,
it?
Absolutely. Sometimes the stars get so close that literally the black hole's intense gravitational field will rip the plasma from the surface of the star and swallow it. And you can see this plasma spiraling into this black hole and disappearing into the event horizon. Quite spectacular, some of those pictures. And yes, indeed, and the supermassive black hole at the centre of the Milky Way was only discovered, what, in the last 10 years, I think?
Yeah, it's not long.
Not long at all.
So the thought there's one quite close, speech marks, suggests there are many, 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 many around the place. So look out, don't you duck, start ducking.
Mm, absolutely. Well, we had the near miss with the asteroid this month as well, didn't we, when it passed within something like 300, I can't remember the numbers, but it was a near miss in cosmic terms. But
wasn't it inside the orbit of the moon? I read. I'm not sure if that was this month, but there was one quite recently.
Yeah, it was a long, long, long way away, and yet, you know, counts as a near miss on the scale of space.
What was it on the human hair scale?
Yeah.
Anyway, as usual, we digress. Now, we have trailed Mark Wally, but we've had a friend of the podcast, Jess Rosen, contacted us and said, you really need to talk to a colleague of mine I've been working with in wonderful Canada. So we have just had a lovely chat, haven't we, with Laura Pankratz.
Yes, absolutely. And what a fantastic... She's the teacher in residence at the Perimeter Institute in Canada. And if you teach physics and you haven't discovered the Perimeter Institute yet, well worth checking out their website. And Laura will tell us a lot more about all of the great things they do for teachers right at the beginning of the interview with her. So let's have a listen.
Welcome to the podcast, Laura. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Laura Pankratz. I'm teacher in residence at the Perimeter Institute for Theoretical Physics in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. It's about an hour outside of Toronto.
Wonderful. And the Perimeter Institute, we had them on the fifth ever episode, Robin, when we had about four listeners. The wonderful Greg Dick helped us out when we were talking about resources. So tell us a little bit about the Perimeter Institute, because that's a long time ago in podcasting.
The Perimeter Institute was founded in 1999 by the people who had developed the BlackBerry. They discovered that they were making money making cell phones using the physics developed 100 years earlier. And they realized that they had a debt to pay for the money that they were earning. They looked around and they said, experimental physics is really expensive. We don't have enough money for that, but we can bring together the best minds, make the best place for the best minds to think and work. And so they created Perimeter Institute. Every room has access to natural light. Every wall is designed for being written on. We have a mixture of whiteboards and blackboards. The whole intent is that you will be in a discussion with someone as you walk down a hall and you will have a point you need to make on the blackboards. And in fact, I bring a strong classroom experimental approach to physics, and it puts me out of step with people, because I will say, how do you know that? And they will draw a picture and I will say, yes, but make it, show me. So I am a big, huge fan of not needing to believe physics, but for students to have a chance to interact and come to their own understanding of physics.
That I do love that, because theoretical is, I mean, Thomas and I, we talk a lot about practical, because practical is always the element of physics that seems to be under threat in schools because it costs money, and it's always the one that school leaders look at and think, maybe we could just pare that down a bit. But actually, theoretical physics is such a wonderful field that working in it and celebrating it is such a plus. So it's wonderful, the work that the PI do on this. It's great.
So Laura, you were given our name by Jess Rosen, another friend of the podcast, on the very first episode she was, Robin. So you've been doing some stuff with the IOP, haven't you? But what's that all about?
In my second round at the Summer Institute at Perimeter Institute, this is a summer institute, it's a week-long camp that we hold for teachers from around the world and Canada, I met Stuart Farmer, who is very actively involved in the IOP. This has opened up to me several other avenues with the IOP, and just recently Ellen Denton and I did a presentation on one of the Perimeter resources called Fields. And I met Jessica as I was working with Ellen in trying to coordinate that meeting. The resource Fields that we have developed is a very exciting resource. It has five activities plus a design challenge that explores ways to make fields more real for students. We have hands-on activities that explore electric fields. We have a way of lighting an LED using water. Who knew we could do that? The design challenge is exactly set up so that the teacher presents a adequately functioning model, and the student's task is to make one that is better.
That sounds super. I mean, I remember from our Perimeter Institute episodes all those times ago, the link will be in the show notes, how much free resources you gave out. In fact, I used some myself the very next week on particle physics. I think you have to go further for the physics teachers out there and tell us, how do you light an LED with water?
The LED with water also has the hidden electric field involved. So everything that I design for the students to be able to do has to be inexpensive. Because the practical component of physics education is under attack for budgetary reasons, we want things that use stuff that's kicking around your house. So a small plastic bin, two rulers, a little bit of aluminum foil, a 9-volt battery. You can create a uniform electric field by wrapping the rulers in aluminum foil. and connect them to the battery, that creates an electric potential difference. By adjusting the width, the distance between the legs of the LED, you can get the LED to light up. The activity then has the students modify that distance until the LED just lights up, and by moving that LED around in the region between the electric fields, students get a chance to see that, yes, indeed, the field is uniform between the plates. The field strength drops off near the edges and outside the plates. And when we then have them draw the representation, they have a hands-on experience. They've seen the light, as it were, to know that the field is uniform.
Love it. That's fantastic.
I'm dying to see a photo of this. I'm having difficulty imagining it. Where's the water? Where's the water? You said light in the water.
You stand the rulers up in the water, and then the water acts to carry the charges because you need a current.
So I've seen, I think I'm pretty sure I've seen either a demo, because I have a memory of this, of also, of course, that the LED you, in the water, you can flick it and it turns around and turns off, of course, because it will only pass the current one way, of course, as well, which is a lovely. So you've got diodes, you've got fields, you've got uniform electric fields, you've got potentially, you've got the idea of it having to have current. Why is it in water? Why can't you do this in the air? Because it has to have charge carriers. All of these things. It's a lovely bit of physics.
You'll have to send us the details and we will put them in the show notes.
It's a lockdown practical.
It's a lockdown practical,
it is.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And if you don't have water, then you just use Play-Doh. Commercial Play-Doh is salt-based. And so there's just oodles of ions. So we've thrown away all of our circuits and resistors and rheostats, and we just do Play-Doh.
You can make that at home, can't you? I read that somewhere. You can make your own Play-Doh.
Yes, and you can do all your own circuits at home then.
It's awesome. Just I've got I'm physics teacher, so I've got LEDs kicking around this very room, about 50. Not sure everyone would have that, but physics teachers will, won't they?
Physics teachers would.
That's brilliant. So you're a teacher in residence at the PI. Was that a competitive thing? Did you have to fight your way to the top? Was it, or is it something that you were awarded for your brilliance?
I think it's a little bit of both. The Greg Dick, who you interviewed a while ago, is someone that I greatly admire. And after one of my week-long works with the teachers at Perimeter in the summer camp, Greg and I were talking, and I just said, hey, have you ever thought about bringing somebody from Alberta to come and work at Perimeter Institute? And he said, no.
Not yet.
That was a clear indication that emails and a campaign were necessary. Because a no just means, like, that's the red flag for my dogged personality. It's like, oh, I can change that opinion.
Do you think they've ever had a teacher in residence from Saffron Walden in the United Kingdom?
I have been working. Now that we've established it doesn't need to be someone from Ontario, we're working on getting it to be open to people from around the world.
I think you're going to volunteer. Yes.
I can think of someone who can volunteer.
The teacher in residence, the model that we're running with right now, has two teachers in residence on a staggered 2-year term. And the intent is that the teacher in residence supports the outreach team at Perimeter with all of our outreach to the public. So outreach to the teachers is only one aspect. We also do public lectures once a month. All of those are available online. So the public lecture that was last Wednesday was Katie Mack talking about the end of the universe, and she did brilliantly. So I would invite people to go to the perimeterinstitute.ca and look at the videos of our public lectures. We Brilliant. Also run programs for students where we either send people out to classrooms to do things with students, or we invite students to come to Perimeter. In March, we held a supporting women in science workshop, and we had 170 female students from around the region come and listen to a series of female physicists as well as female industry leaders talk about how there are futures for females in STEM areas.
Super, super.
That sounds lovely. Sorry, Laura, I cut across you. Carry on.
That's okay. The other thing that we do is we develop resources for classroom teachers to use with their students. I talked a little bit about the fields resource. We also have resources that take a very classical idea like circular motion, do an investigation with the students so they understand where the equations come from. And then we apply that to the motion of stars and galaxies as one of the first observations that gave us information about dark matter. One of the really neat ideas that we try to do at Perimeter with our resources is subversive teaching. We use a very classical, very boring idea and move it into what's cutting edge right now.
That's a nice thing.
I would say we need a Perimeter Institute here. We got ARM, haven't we, in Cambridge, Robin? They should set up an equivalent, probably call it the Cavendish Labs, wouldn't they? It's not quite the same, though. Cavendish is very practical, isn't it?
Might have this already.
Well, Cavendish do some good outreach work, no question. They do. And Isaac Physics is one of the ones that they've done, which I don't know if you're familiar with that with Laura, but Isaac Physics is a resource we have here in UK, which is just basically involves problem solving, just challenging kids to solve problems, giving them hints, working them through it. Doesn't give them the answers, which I really like as well. So they have to, which drives Thomas nuts because he has to work out the answers, and that's why he always gets ones that he throws my way that he says, oh, you know, this is one for you, Robin.
Only about one in 50 comes your way.
About one in 50, but of course they're the hardest ones, so I have to pretend I'm not in.
We were hoping to set up a replicant of the Einstein Plus experience, the week-long summer institute in the UK this summer, but we're thinking that because of COVID, we probably aren't. I haven't heard the official news that it's been cancelled, but I'm pretty sure that my husband would not allow me to go on an airplane and fly to the UK.
So well, this is it. So we've got to find the alternative, haven't we? We've got to find the Zoom equivalent of the week-long teacher summer camp and how that's going to work. But yeah, I was really interested. I wanted to come, but now you've mentioned it again, actually, it's quite handy because I did want to ask about that. Week-long summer camps for teachers from around the world. I know that there would be a lot of teachers who'd be really keen to attend that. Presumably details on the Perimeter Institute website when we get back to sort of normal. These will presumably resume and you'll find details there, will you?
One of the big parts of the outreach program at the Perimeter Institute is the week-long teachers camp. We call it Einstein Plus. We pull together somewhere between 40 and 50 teachers from across Canada and around the world. And it is basically 12 hours of doing physics with your friends. And it is an emotional high that it takes me about 4 days to get down from. The conversations are rich. The friendships span the globe, and the professional sharing of actual classroom management, pedagogy tricks, ways to do labs, how to address student problems, that is an excitement that goes out with every teacher who participates. If you're interested in attending Einstein Plus, go to perimeterinstitute.ca, look for teachers, look for summer camp opportunities. We're not running anything this year because of the COVID adventure. We're really looking forward to doing it again in 2021.
So you mentioned COVID there. What is the situation in Canada? We at the moment in the UK, on Sunday, they're talking about relaxing it a bit. And of course, the tabloids all said it's over on Sunday, which is going to be a disaster. But what's going on in Canada now?
Each province in Canada is responding to COVID differently, and the experiences in each province is different. Ontario, where the Perimeter Institute is continues in a state of emergency. The Perimeter Institute building itself is locked down, and all of the researchers are working from home. One of the physicists that I work with said he's not entirely convinced that his social skills will survive this extended lockdown. The other one is ecstatic because now she has time to just sit and work, and she doesn't have to deal with all of the interruptions of co-workers.
So is there any sign of it being relaxed in Canada, in your province? Because you're in Edmonton, aren't you, right in the middle?
Yes, I am in Edmonton, and in Alberta we have several outbreak hotspots right now. So it is quite exciting in air quotes. It's an adventure here. We are about 2 weeks behind Ontario. Our government has said that we will not go back to school this year at all. And my friends in the post-secondary are saying that they have been directed to come up with plans to start September virtually.
Yeah, Manchester University here announced today that the first term of the next year will be entirely online.
Yes, so this new normal is very difficult. And while I'm here, I get to meet with teachers virtually in several places across Alberta. And one of the things that they are talking about is how to do good labs virtually. And one of the really interesting ideas that was mentioned in one of my recent meetings was to use pop cans, fill them with different pop bottles, 2-liter pop bottles, fill them with different amounts of water and tune them, get a measurement of that resonance height, plot the graph to get the speed of sound. We normally do this lab with perfect cylinders. And what happens is that the data will come out linear, but the data is shifted because the pop bottle is not the exact same shape, and so you have more of an effect at the top of the bottle. This is a wonderful chance where we can either challenge the students to get the speed of sound for a fairly easy lab, or a more difficult lab of, is the model of saying a pop bottle is a perfect cylinder, is that model supported by this data?
Wow, that's very a brilliant nice. Practical memoriam, isn't it? This is this spot in the podcast. We have a practical memoriam, which is if you went under a bus tomorrow. Robin hates this. But if you went under a bus tomorrow, what at your memorial service, what would you want people saying? Oh, I remember Laura's experiment on the speed of sound with pop bottles.
Oh no, it's not mine. I stole it. It's one that I think is a wonderful example of how teachers at home are coming up with things that students can do at home and how we're in fact promoting or furthering the physics understanding by the model testing.
Is there a section on the Perimeter Institute website that sort of has some of these ideas? Is there a sort of a lockdown area? I should know this, sorry.
The Perimeter Institute develops resources for classroom teachers, and these resources are free to teachers everywhere around the world. Resources, you want to go to resources.perimeterinstitute.ca and you can scroll through. We have probably a little bit more than a dozen compendiums of collected lessons that go together. We also have a collection of independent lessons.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for your time. All those miles away in Edmonton, it's early in the morning. We're doing this on Zoom, dear listener, and Laura's got a cup of coffee as big as her head. So thank you very much for your time, Laura. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And Laura, we could talk for I think hours, and I would happily do so, but thank you so much for giving up your early morning and talking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I've also enjoyed this chat. Thank you very much. And to all the teachers, be strong, be kind to yourselves.
Well, I know who's applying for the teacher in residence, first foreign teacher in residence, Robin.
You are me.
You may get assassinated.
Yes. It's just sounds fantastic, doesn't it? What a lovely job to have, and what a lovely person Laura is. So, it's so wonderful to talk to her. And it's great to know that there are people like Laura in the world.
Such an enthusiast and full of good ideas. I'm dying. I don't really get that. The LED, I can't picture it. You've obviously seen it, but I'm hoping to get a photo from her and that make that the photo of the podcast. So there must just there's a, she's got a lot. You can tell there's a lot. We'll have to get her back on.
Yeah, Alan Denton, where are you? Send us a picture because I know you've got this to work. So it would be great to see. I'm pretty sure there's a video somewhere lurking around. So I'll see if I can dig it out and on YouTube and post a link.
That would be awesome. Well, Robin, I think with the long interview there with Laura, we probably should round up.
We should remind people that if you do want to get in touch, particularly during lockdown, you've got something to say, please do drop us a line at physicstp on Twitter.
physics_teaching_podcast, is that it?
That's it.
I can't remember what it is.
you've got whatever I got. You remember the Instagram.
The physics_teaching_podcast on Instagram.
There's a contact form on every single page of our website, the.physicsteachingpodcast.com.
And you can always email us contact@thephysicsteachingpodcast.com. Yeah, do contact us, because we never know where we go with the podcast, and it's lovely to hear from people out there. So thank you very much, Robin.
Thanks, Thomas. I'll catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Physics Teaching Podcast, and special thanks this week to Laura Pankratz. The podcast is presented by Robin Griffiths and me, Thomas WP, and produced and edited by me, Thomas WP. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next week.